Well, let's open to Luke tonight, Luke 22. Now, on Sunday, we were talking a little bit about submission. And really, we were talking about surrender, I should say, surrendering our will to the will of the Father. How many remember that? Amen. We're talking about surrendering our will. And one of the greatest things that we have is the ability to choose to follow and to give our life to God. Isn't that awesome? God did not want robots. He didn't want people that just did what he said. He said, I want hearts that are committed to me. Hallelujah. What a good Father we have. So, we know, how many know, that sometimes it's not easy to surrender our will to the will of the Father. Amen. Everybody says, well, why is it not easy? Because we live in two worlds. We live in an eternal world on the inside of us, which when we're born again, we become what? That child of God. And that is where we, our new birth begins, that relationship with our Father. We come alive to Him, and we know that on the inside, we're eternal. We're going to live forever with God. When we receive Christ, of course, there are people that are not going to live with Him forever if they reject Him. But because of that nature on the inside of us, we, as children of God, we have that capacity and that desire to walk with Him, to please Him, to want to do His will, to want to follow Him. And that really was Jesus' desire as well. And I just want us to look at a couple of verses here in Luke 22. Verse number 42. Let's pray before I read that. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for wisdom and understanding. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. You are our helper. You are our guide. We thank you for speaking to us tonight in your word with the truth, Father. And Father, any other way that you so desire, cause us to hear it, Holy Spirit. You are our helper, our teacher, and our guide. In Jesus' name, we welcome you. We thank you for speaking through Pastor Doug tonight. Amen. And verse 42 says this of Luke 22. It says, saying, well, let's start in 41. It says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. Now, this is Jesus, when he went into the garden, they just had, he just instituted the communion. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is going to be my blood. And we could go into that, but maybe we will at some other point. But that, you know, and here they came out and they're going to the garden. They've been here many times. There are many olive trees there and so forth. It's a pretty big place. And so here they are. And Jesus withdraws himself from them, from his disciples. It says about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And we know the story here. It says in verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Now here Jesus was asking the Father. He knew the will of the Father. How many have ever had God ask you to do something? Amen. You know he's wanting you to do something. And maybe you don't want to do it. He said, "Well, why would God ask me to do something I don't want to do?" Because he's God and you're not. Because he is Lord and we're not. Amen. Sometimes in our natural self, we don't want to do it. Even though God has asked them. And in this case, God has asked Jesus to go to the cross. Now we know everything he did on this earth, he did as a man. He emptied himself, the Bible said, became obedient. Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself. He became what? The servant. I mean, he not just became a man, but he said, "I'm choosing to serve. I'm coming as a, yes, a son of God, but I'm emptying myself of all deity privileges." And the Lord said, "I choose to go and redeem mankind." When he was with the Father, he chose that. He said, "I will empty myself." He didn't come as a full-grown man. He came as the baby, didn't he? And the Bible said he had to grow and he had to learn. He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He wasn't instant. He didn't just know everything. He grew in his knowledge. He grew in understanding who he was and God's purpose for his life. And we do the same thing. We continue to grow in him when we fellowship with the Father. And here Jesus is fellowshipping with the Father, knowing that he has to go to the cross, knowing that he's going to suffer the penalty of not just sin, but sickness as well, be laid upon him. He's going to be beaten. And he's struggling. And he's asking his disciples, "Please, pray for me." It says he is in agony. And he prayed more earnestly. He knelt down. He began to pray. He comes into agony. And it says he prayed more earnestly. And when you look that up in the earnestness, he was so overcome. He was probably most likely laying on the ground, writhing, saying, "Oh, Lord, please, God. Please, God. Is there another way? Please, Father." I know, I mean, even though, you know, when you're in heaven and you're God, he had already decided. He said, "I want to go through with that." But when he emptied himself and he became a man, he struggled. And a lot of times we think it's weakness if we struggle with the will of God. And it seems Jesus is struggling here. Doesn't mean that we're disobedient. He was not disobedient. He was trying to say, "Father, I really want to do this, but I'm struggling." He was struggling in his flesh to the point that, of course, we talked about last time where the skin can actually separate, the outer layer of your skin will separate from your body and fill with blood. And because you're already sweating, that water's there, and boom, it drops down with that blood mixed with that sweat. And you are sweating really drops of blood, it appears. You know, it's really mixed with sweat, but still, that is a real medical condition that can take place when someone is under great stress and trial. So here Jesus is submitting. He's saying, "Father, not my will. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. There is a power that comes in the submission to the will of the Father. There is a resistance here, really. He's resisting the devil by what? Submitting to God. When we submit to the will of God, or we surrender to the will of God. Lord, I surrender to that. I will do that. I'm setting my will. He had to set his face like flint. Jesus had to do it. And when he did, then the grace came for him to fulfill the obedience of it. So in surrender, there is really a resisting of, yes, of the flesh, but also of the enemy. How many know the devil didn't want him to go to the cross? Not really. He thought he was going to destroy him at the cross. That was the devil's thought. He doesn't understand everything. Amen. I think Jesus' biggest thing is that he didn't want to be separated from his Father. He's never been separated from his Father. And his thought is, I've got to go through this. I'm going to be whipped. I'm going to be tortured. He knew it. And yet here they come, right? They came. And if we look over in John, we see where it says they're looking for Jesus. What does he say? I am he. Now, I don't know what Judas told them. But apparently he told them something, because they came with a band of soldiers, a whole company of soldiers, about 600. They're coming with staves. They've got knives. They've got their swords and their, you know, their lanterns, which is the flashlight of the day. They didn't know if they're going to have to look for him. They've heard all kinds of things about him. Remember, he passed through the crowd once. They were going to throw him off the cliff, and he passed through them. He disappeared, or whatever he did. They couldn't find him. It wasn't time yet. His time had not come, but he said, now's the time. I'm here. And they kept, you know, thinking, you know, he just surrendered himself. He says, haven't you seen me before? You know, I mean, here I am. Take me. Of course, they all fell out and, you know, fell backwards. All, you know, can you imagine that? The whole army falls back. That must have been impressive. I would think several of them probably got saved. I mean, they were thinking something is different. Anyway, nevertheless, they take him. He's mocked. He's brought. He continues in the will of the Father. The Bible says he was obedient, even to the point of death, the death on the cross, says specifically Philippians 2. Let's look over there in Philippians 2 and read that a minute, because I think it's important. I may not be quoting that exactly right. I don't know. But let's just look here, Philippians 2. Let's start in the 5th verse here. I like this, where Paul is talking to him. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Well, there's a good one. How many know we're to have this mind in us and be of no reputation? Amen. How many people in here, how many have ever wanted to have a good reputation? You know, you don't want to be looked down upon. But Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He became obedient. But it took something here for him to become obedient. He had to humble himself. And many times, maybe that's where we struggle. We don't always want to humble ourselves and do what God says. Sometimes it's not easy on the flesh. Sometimes there's some suffering involved. I mean, I'm sure Paul didn't want to go out and preach the gospel everywhere. Everywhere he went, the devils were stirred up. People were stirred up. There was either revival or some kind of a revolt against him. Everywhere he goes, they keep getting stirred up. And he's saying, Lord, you know, I mean, this is a thorn in my flesh. Everywhere I go, they seem to be getting stirred up against me. It was not easy all the time. He suffered shipwreck. See, the sufferings of Christ are not the sickness and disease. That's not a suffering for the Lord. He bore that for us. It's not poverty and lack. He took care of that. But sometimes there's a suffering. I mean, Paul was on the ship, and he even, you know, he's been in the night at least three different times. Could you imagine being totally, let's go, hallelujah, let's look at that one too. I like that because it was part of his life. 2 Corinthians, hallelujah, chapter 11. Let's just read here for a minute. Take a look at Paul's life because there was some suffering involved in his surrender to the will of God. Now, if you remember when he was born again, he fell off the horse, and he's led to Damascus, and the Lord, what did the Lord say to him? There's many things that you will suffer for me in this kingdom, Paul. It's not going to be all a bed of roses. Sometimes people get saved and they think everything is going to be easy, but it's not always easy. There is some suffering in this flesh. And well, here we go. Verse 11:1, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I'm jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, hallelujah, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. For I consider that I am not all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Acacia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing for his ministers to transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Now he's talking about people that have come in. They're boasting about how great they are, what a great apostle they are. And he says, I have not charged you anything. I've come free of charge. I've come on my own accord. I'm coming with the power of Christ within me. And these have come in and lied to you and said they're great apostles, and they are not. And they will be rewarded according to what they have done and what they have said. And he goes on to say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. He says, here I am. I'm going to tell you a little something. I'm boasting a little bit here because I want you to understand these are false men. Don't listen to their wrong gospel. Don't be deceived. There's a lack of deception because Paul had mentioned it again. I don't know if you caught that, but here he said, I had to humble myself. And there's something about humbling ourselves before the Lord, submitting to his will and surrendering. Yes, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. There is a grace and a power that comes to us to walk with him, and he backs us up. See, that is true authority in the earth. We've been talking about authority, but there is a great authority that comes with the submission to the Lord Jesus, with a surrender to his will. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And Paul surrendered his will, and he's getting ready to tell them a little bit about some of these things. Verse 17, what I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face, to your shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often, from the Jews 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus one. 5 times. How many know how many that is? Amen. That's like 200 stripes. Minus five. It's almost 200 stripes. My Lord, that's a lot. Hallelujah. Anyway, he's just saying, he said, I'm being foolish in boasting about this, but I want you to see something. These people have come in to deceive you, and I'm telling you the truth. I've submitted my self to the Father's will. And sometimes there's a suffering in it. So from the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. That's where they beat you on the feet, break the bones in your feet. Three different times. For what? Preaching the gospel. He wasn't doing anything wrong. Hallelujah. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I have been in the deep. Oh, my Lord, can you imagine? You know how cold the water is? Being at water day and night? Many times, if you survive, usually you've got at least hypothermia, if not more, things wrong with you. And if you live, praise the Lord. Apparently God was with him. Amen. And journeys often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of the Messenes with a garrison descending to arrest, desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in the basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. So he's talking about when he was first getting started, even in the kingdom. My life was spared. They wanted to arrest me, they wanted to get rid of me. It started from the very beginning for Paul. Hallelujah. He said, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ. And he begins to talk about his own life, apparently, where he, one of the times when he died, probably when he was stoned, he has apparently saw paradise and saw the heavens. And remember when the disciples got back around and they left him for dead? But they prayed, and Paul came to after being stoned. And what did he say? Let's go back into the city. He had decided to surrender to the will of the Father for his life. Now, his life had exceptional sufferings, but there's things that you and I suffer just by saying, Lord, I surrender. And it takes what? A humbling of ourselves. And in that surrender, in that submitting to God, there is a resisting already of the enemy. Why? Because I'm under the authority of my Father now. I'm in his plan. I'm following his purpose for my life. I'm saying, yes, Lord. Maybe he's asked you to pray. Will you pray X number of hours every day for me? Will you worship? Will you fast? Ooh. That didn't go over great. You know, will we spend time? Will you read these portions of scriptures over and over? Make them a part of your life. I want you to be able to share them at a moment's notice. See, our suffering is not great like Paul's, but there's still a certain amount of suffering we face. I mean, we're in a first world country. We are a blessed people. We don't have to spend hours every day cooking for our family. We got microwaves and ovens, and you know, we get it done in you know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes, you know, and if you have to, you can set the timer to come on at a certain time on your stove and it'll cook it for you. You didn't even have to be there. Isn't that something? And so we're blessed people. But at the same time, there is a certain amount of suffering that we need to remember, because it is a laying down of our life. And sometimes when we're in a world that we're blessed and we're so blessed in the natural, we find it difficult. You see, people in these other countries, they all want to come here. They want to come to Canada. Oh, man, if they could come to Canada, they'd line up. People around the world, if they could get away from where they are, if there was any way, a lot of people don't, you know, maybe they see on TV, you know, they think everybody's rich, you know. And in one sense, we are. In one sense. Compared to most of the world. They say if you've got a little pocket change. Do I have any pocket change today? Oh, maybe not. Maybe not today. But anyway, usually if you got a little pocket change, you're richer than 95% of the world. Just have a little pocket change. Can you imagine? You know, so sometimes we have to think about it. But it can be, you know, you can still, what happens is some of these people do find their way here. And what are they going to do? They're going to study. They're going to prepare. They're going to seek God. And what are they going to do? They're going to go back home. But how many know when there's comfort and it's comfortable, people want in? And many times they find themselves surrendering to the comforts, the creature comforts that are all around them, and they never make it back of their original plan that God had put in their heart to go back to their homeland. It's not that they didn't want to, but they didn't want to. They lost their want to. And if we don't spend that time with the Father, saying, Father, what is your will? And we don't humble ourselves, we don't say, yes, I surrender. Sometimes it never happens. It may not be for us, it may not be a surrender to, you know, being beaten and being slaughtered, but maybe you have to lose your reputation, you know. We have to be willing to be of no reputation, right? That means we don't care what everybody thinks about us. Hallelujah. We're going to speak the truth in love. We're going to bring the gospel. We're going to proclaim it. We're going to live it, because that was our call. That's what God says. Amen. That we are His people. Let's go back over to James here, where we were last time, and see this again. And we may move over to Peter if we have a minute. But I want us to realize surrender can bring, you know, I mean, when Jesus surrendered to the will of the Father, there wasn't anything anybody could do. Even Pilate. He wanted to wash his hands of him. He didn't want him to go, and he thought for sure if he brought out Barabbas, they're going to say, yeah, release Jesus, because I can't find any fault in him. Release Jesus. But it didn't work that way. They thought they had all this power over him. He said, you have no power other than what my Father's given you. And he didn't try to defend himself. He willingly, the Bible says, laid down his life, because he had to go to that first place of surrender in the garden. And once he had finally really surrendered, even though his poor disciples, they didn't pray for him like he had asked, all of them deserted him. You know, we think about Peter, but they all left. They were all gone. They weren't there. They all finally left him. Peter's there. He's going to stand with him. Lord, I'm not going to leave you. No way. I'll even take his head off if I can. And Jesus has to say, put your sword away, Peter. We're not fighting flesh and blood. This is not the battle. I'm getting ready to win the battle. And sometimes our battle is on our knees. Our battle is in prayer. Our battle is against our emotion that the enemy wants to stir up all around us. We may not have all kinds of other things, but he wants to stir us up on the inside. Why? Because he's trying to stop you from bringing revival to this city. There is one thing that every group of people that brought revival had in common. They did not and would not quit. They set their face. No, God wants revival. God wants us to be a house of prayer. God wants us to be a place where the power and love of God can dwell. So we have to decide, are we going to follow him? I have to decide. You have to decide. We all have to decide. Are we going to continue to follow him? We found what? How do we crucify this flesh? Because the problem with revival is not God. He's ready to have it. And everybody says, well, why doesn't he just do it? Because he needs people to flow through. He's not on the earth. We're the part of his body that is on the earth. We're here. We've been given the authority. And when our will is surrendered to his will, then he can then anoint the life of Christ that is within us to bring about his purpose. But when we're not fully surrendered, then we have a problem because we have the potential of hurting others, of not being what God really wants in the earth, and of doing our own thing or trying to do it our own way. The biggest problem here right now that I can see in North America is pretty much religion. I mean, we've got our way of doing it. Bless God, if God says something else, well, he'll just have to wait. That's the biggest thing that really fights us, I believe, is religion. We've got ideas and it's good. That's one reason we need to keep praying. We keep pressing, we keep praying, in the Spirit, in our own life. And we come here and we intercede and we're praying for others. And we have to keep our own prayer life up. Well, how much do I need to pray to produce it? Whatever it takes. I'm not you. I don't have your flesh. So you got to work that out with God. So, well, I'm really feeling it, you know, and I know sometimes we surrender things, but we've got to keep them. How many know you can surrender something, but you got to keep it surrendered? Because Paul said, you know, he said, what? I die what? Daily. Daily. And sometimes it's I don't know about you, but sometimes it's minutely. Or maybe it's every few seconds. You ever sit down to worship for a little bit? I'm going to worship an hour, okay? I love you, Lord. I praise you and your mind somewhere else. It's done, went down the street to fix yesterday's problem or today's problem. Or you're thinking this and that and the other. Maybe the devil's telling you you're wasting your time. You know, and you have to take those thoughts captive and bring it back. I said, Father, let's go again. I love you. I'll worship you. Oh, there it is again. Whatever, everything you got to do starts coming to your mind. You know, for some reason, I got to mow the grass right now. It must be growing while I'm worshiping. It has to be. I know it is. You know, but if we'll write that down, keep your piece of paper, you probably have your whole list of things. Because your mind's just doing what it's supposed to do. When it quiets down, it reminds you of the things that it thinks you forgot. Oh yeah, I got to get that, you know. You may have your whole list of things. I got my to-do. Oh, thank you, Mr. Devil. I got my to-do list right here. But I'm going to finish worshiping God. I'm going to set everything aside. I'm not going to think about my job. I'm not going to think about all those things I want to have to do. I'm going to think about what I'm saying, Lord, and I'm going to pour my heart into what I'm saying. I love you, Jesus. I worship you. Everybody says, well, is that a suffering? It is in a sense. We suffer in the flesh. We make our mind obey us. We make our emotions to worship God with all that we are. We force our body to become still. And in a sense, that's our suffering. It's a lost art today, waiting on y'all. For many people. I'm not saying all you guys, we do pretty good most of the time, but how many know we could all increase? We could all do better. Amen. It's not a time to sit and figure everything out. See, we can... You know, we can play words. We can put all the words. We didn't have any words up tonight, which I didn't even know until I opened my eyes. I said, oh, okay. I said, oh, she didn't put the words up tonight, but that's okay. Sometimes we need to be thinking about what we're saying, what we're singing. You know, we can sing there. Well, I wonder why she wore those clothes tonight. Well, her hair's not quite right. I wonder why. What happened? She must not have washed it. You know, whatever we're thinking. We can think about somebody else or we think about our own self. I wonder if I stink. You know, I was working out before I came in tonight, you know. I hope I don't smell bad, you know. All kinds of things. That's one reason we have pre-worship, so we can worship God and begin and get started before we actually even worship. We just keep worshiping. Amen. But we were going to James 4, wasn't it? All right. Verse 7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts. Double-minded. Anybody ever here been double-minded? I think I want to do that. Well, maybe not. I want to obey God. Well, I'm not sure. Yes, Lord. Well, maybe I'm not ready. How many know when God asks you, you're ready? If he asks you to do something, you're ready. He wouldn't ask you if you weren't ready. He's honoring you. He's believing in us. He's trusting us to what? To tear down the enemy's work in this city, to tear down religion, and to allow the very life of God, the love of God, the nature of God, to begin to rule a people that will what? Surrender to his ways and his purposes, and to allow God to bring revival to a place that may just be full of religion. Religion has sent a lot of men to hell. It's a sad case. It's a sad thing. It can be so meaning well. You know, I believe the Mormons mean well. The Jehovah's Witness mean well. Many of them mean well. Some of them got more fervency, it appears, in the flesh. You know, it appears. How many know it's a matter of the heart? and we can pursue Him. When our heart is sold out to Him, then yes, there are things that we'll do in the natural. We show up, and you guys do, and I appreciate that. But we have to continue. We can't draw back. We have to continue to submit to God's plan, God's purpose. Continue to draw near to Him. Amen. It goes on, he says, lament and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Interesting, huh? Sometimes we have all those feelings, you know, we feel cast down. But the Bible says when we begin to cry out to Him, we begin to call out to Him, draw near. It says, lament and mourn, weep. I don't think he's talking about godly laughter, but sometimes there's, how many ever hear that? You know, we hear a lot of things. People are playing a lot of games. We're having church. We have fun at our church. You know, we got bingo night and we got, you know, whatever night it is. We're a good bless me club and we laugh a lot. But do we draw near to God? I know you guys do. We're working on that. But more and more, we can draw near to Him. Humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift us up. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'd rather have the Lord lift me up. How about you? See, when you draw near and He lifts you up, now you know this ain't a fleshly thing. This is of the Spirit of God. The power of God, the life of God. He empowers our new nature when we draw near, when we cry out to Him. And we're pouring ourselves to Him, we're humbling ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Peter 5. I just want us to see there's a submission that brings an authority. A surrender and a submission to God's will. I say submission, really surrender and submission, both. But 1 Peter 5, starting the 5th verse here, says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another, and be clothed, here's our word again, with humility. It's interesting to me, every place where they were surrendering and submitting, where Jesus submitted, where each one there was a humility that had to take place. And humility is where we see God as Lord and Master. And we, who are we? We are His servant. We are His son, and we choose to lay down our life just like Jesus chose to come to this earth. We make a decision. Humility is a decision. I'm not going to do my own thing. I'm going to do my Father's will. I'm going to humble myself. I'm not going to have to be exalted. I'm going to lay down that reputation just like Jesus laid down His reputation. I mean, He could have went around, you know, many times. He says, He knew. They said, oh, He thinks He's the Son of God. He was just sharing with them what He heard from the Father. And when humility comes in our life and we say, I'm going to walk according to what Jesus accomplished at the cross. What He accomplished for me in my place, that means I am nothing, yes, in myself, but in Him, I am everything. He is all. Hallelujah. When He becomes all, that's when that lifting up takes place. But we see here, we humble ourselves. This humility Yes, all of you be submissive one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Didn't say he is a roaring lion, but he likes to act like one. And his breath stinks sometimes. He comes and he'll roar. He's roared us, tried to bring sickness and disease in this place, but we're resisting him. Amen. We're submitting, Lord, your will is that by your stripes I'm healed. We're not going to stop seeking you. We're not going to stop praying, but we're going to be sober and vigilant because we know we have an adversary. The devil, he's just a deceiver. If he can deceive you, but how many know there's some safety in a humbled heart? Says, not my will, Lord. Your will be done. Amen. You know, if we don't humble our heart or humble ourselves, how's the Lord going to bring his purpose to pass? We're just going to walk around and try to do it in our flesh. It's not going to happen. This is a spiritual battle. And we are fighting it. Praise the Lord. But we're not going to quit. Amen. How many know we're just getting warmed up? Glory to God. Whatever he says, we're going to do. You know, if he asks you to, are you going to worship all night? Well, I have to go to work in the morning. Yeah, I know. But if he asks you, I'm not saying he's going to. But if he does, maybe it's not all night, but maybe he wakes you up at 3:30 in the morning. Maybe you ever wake up 3 o'clock in the morning? You know? Well, you know, maybe you do to go to the bathroom, but sometimes he wakes you. You ever have him wake you up? I've had him wake me up 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, and you know in your heart, oh, man, he wants me to, really, Lord, 3 o'clock? I'm really tired. Like he doesn't know. He knows. Or maybe it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You're at work. But you have a moment, a few minutes. Maybe you're driving somewhere or traveling or whatever. You got a couple minutes of a lull. And he's just asking you to shoot up a quick prayer. You know, I've had some 30-second prayers that were answered just like that. And lives changed because the Lord said, pray right now, this second. He knew how much time I had. Didn't take much. It's not always the long prayer that gets the answer. It's good to pray when we're just fellowshipping with the Lord, praying in the Spirit, worshiping God, spend some long times with him. That's wonderful and great. But sometimes he just needs the authority right now. And we say, yes, Lord, count on me. I'll do it. I'll say it, Lord. I'll do it. I'll pray right this minute. It could be life or death for somebody. You have the authority on the earth. See, submission to God's will, surrender to him brings authority. And it brings a safety. And here he's saying, you don't want to be devoured by the enemy? Cast all your care on him. He says, I'll take care of you. I care for you. Hallelujah. We got a good Father. Amen. There is a safety in that. And we become sober and vigilant. You know, when we have care, the enemy comes to divide our mind. We become distracted. We have anxieties, burdens, worries. We become anxious beforehand about daily life. That's care. Getting anxious, that's good, isn't it? Anxious about something, that's not good to do, but I mean, that's a good definition. Anxious beforehand about daily life. Anybody ever got anxious before you ever got there? You know, you're already concerned. I'm not saying we'll never have an anxious feeling. But how many know you conquer by doing it anyway? How many know fear is going to come? The Bible says, fear not. Well, how are you going to fear not if you never had any fear? If there wasn't going to be any fear present, then how could we fear not? Sometimes we think, well, if I fear not, then there's not going to be any fear. No, the fear is there, but we rise above that and we do it anyway. We follow God, trusting Him along the way. Casting all of our care upon Him is a trust. I trust you, Lord. You're going to take care of it. You're going to lead me through it. You're going to guide me in it. And I'm going to have the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But there is a submitting that brings that authority. He said, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. And part of that resisting is saying, I surrender. I surrender, Lord. And sometimes it's a daily thing. Sometimes it's an hourly thing. Amen. But how many know if you'll not quit, you'll keep staying in that place of, Lord, I want your will. I desire you, Lord. Yes, I'll do that. I'll witness to that person. I'll be a light to them. I'll lay that down. Yes, Lord. I'll eat a little less so that I hear you better, Lord, so that you are more real in my life. I'm going to worship you a little bit more. That your presence saturates me so that when I'm out and about, it's not just all about me. But how many know? See, you become a reservoir. He already lives in you, but he begins to manifest his presence when we worship him. Boom, you walk about and it begins to move not just in you, but outside of you, moves beyond you. So that what? God is able to touch others about you. See, it's not all about us. Surrender is not just about you and I. Us having a better life. But us being a light. And a lot of times we get certain benefits from it. Amen. How many know when God comes and His presence comes, we really like it? You know, the few times, sometimes He comes so strong we don't want to go home. I want to just stay right here. Why? Because he's manifesting himself. And you can have that every day. Amen. So, well, you don't have to come to the church to get it. Amen. You got your home. You got your bedroom. You got some place. If you don't, make some place. No, if you have to, well, this little corner of the living room, that's where I'm going. Don't bother me for a little while, you know. You know, I've had times where my sister, we put the piano in the office, but I'm studying, she's playing, banging on the piano and everything else, but I didn't really hear her. You know, because you can zone in on God and move into His presence. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect situation for us to seek God. Amen. We just have to make that decision and go into the closet of our heart. Say, I'm going in, Lord. Yes. My mind's on You. My heart is tuned to You, Father. I surrender. I humble myself and surrender. In that, really, just right there is the beginning of what? Resisting the enemy. No, then we're ready. No, I resist you, Satan. You must flee. And all of heaven backs us up, as we talked about. Why? Because we are seated with Him, far above all His power. But it isn't just there, but it comes as we surrender and humble ourselves. Hallelujah. That's really what makes it work. See, a lot of times we wonder, well, why isn't it working? Well, have I surrendered? Have I humbled myself? Have I submitted myself to the will of God? Have I drawn near to Him? Have I gone to Him? Have I really drawn near? Or did I just go through the motions that I did last time? Well, I quoted all the verses. It's not about saying the right thing, but saying what's in our heart. Letting those verses and taking a minute saying, yeah, are they really in my heart, Lord, this time? Yeah, they were before, but are they old to me? Did I read them again? Did I really meditate them again? And then I let the life that was in that word permeate my being, saying, Lord, I surrender to You. And then, whoop, when we resist Him, He flees. Have I kept myself in that place of surrender? Have I kept myself in that place of humbly saying, Lord, not my will. Your will be done, Father. Or have I said, well, I already know how You want to do this, Lord. You want to do it just like You did last time, right? Not necessarily. We need to find His pathway and His purpose and His plan to overcome in every situation. Amen. All right, let's submit. Let's stand up. Father, we submit to You. We submit our lives to You. We surrender to You, Lord. We say, Jesus, You are Master and You are King. And we know that as we surrender to You, Lord, we are able to resist the enemy. We draw near to You. He has to flee, Father. We have all authority. But Lord, we know that it's under You are the head and that You are the Master and that it's under You, Lord. You have given us that authority, but it's only as we submit, Lord, as we surrender to Your way of doing things, that that authority is enforced. So, Lord, we surrender fresh and new, Lord. We put under the body, Lord, the deeds of this flesh, and we say, no. Jesus is Lord of my life. Jesus is my Master. Lord, not my will. Your will be done. Amen.